Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tiffany Donahue. I'm the worship pastor here. And I just want to, first of all, tell you a little bit about my story and how I ended up at River City, in case you don't know that. And my husband and I, Patrick, we grew up in Union County, which is just about an hour from here. And then after we got married, we moved away for a little bit. And then we moved back to Owensboro in the summer of 2010. And then somebody invited us to this church. We knew nobody in Owensboro. And Christy Clark, a girl who goes here, I don't think she's here tonight, but she invited my husband. They worked together. And we came and just immediately fell in love with the church. We knew this is where we were supposed to be. Fell in love with the pastors, with the people here. And so first of all, just the power of your invite. Never take that for granted. Never take for granted the fact that you could impact somebody's life just by inviting them to church. And so we got here in the summer of 2010, and then we came on staff in 2011, and we have just loved every minute of being a part of this church. And you know, one of the first things I noticed about being here at this church is the vision. The vision of this church, which we've been talking about a lot lately, and the vision of this church is to save the lost and to grow the found. And that is evident as soon as you come into this building, you know, very soon after, that is our vision, that our vision is to save the lost and to grow the found. And so when Pastor Ren and Pastor Jesse asked me to speak tonight, which it's an honor to get to talk to you guys tonight, and when they asked me to do that, they're always encouraging us that when we speak, to speak from the overflow of our heart. And the overflow right now of my heart and of this church, we've been talking about vision. And in case you missed our vision series, Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse, they preached together on vision, and it was incredible. So in case you missed that, make sure you check out our Facebook. You can go back and you can rewatch that. You can go to our YouTube channel. Maybe you don't know we have a YouTube channel, and AJ, who's awesome, he puts all of our sermons on that YouTube channel. So make sure you do that, you subscribe to that. That way you can get notifications when the sermons are updated. But I encourage you to go back and rewatch that, because it was incredible to hear what God has given them as a vision for our church, what God has mandated in their life that River City Church is going to do. And Sunday, they talked to just about everything that we are for. And so I just encourage you to go back and watch that. And so tonight, I just want to kind of continue with vision and continue with what that means for us. And Pastor Ron is always talking about how your personal vision should line up with a corporate vision. And then obviously the corporate vision should line up with the Word of God. And so God's mandate and God's vision for this house is to save the lost and to grow the found. And that's the heart of God. And I know that's the heart of God because in the scriptures in Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission. It's not a Great Commission, but it's the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. And so that scripture, that Great Commission, it tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. That scripture, it tells us that instead of being inward focused, instead of focusing on our own needs, and instead of focusing on what we need, to lift up our eyes, to look around and realize that there are people all around us that need what we have. You know, we have the power of Jesus. We have been saved. We have been set free. We have been redeemed. And the world needs that. And so the mandate on this church is to go and make disciples of all nations. And so that's an incredible vision to be a part of. And, you know, the season of life I'm in, I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And so part of not being inward focused and part of looking outward is that we have to learn how to share at times. And right now, with a four-year-old and a two-year-old, sharing and teaching those lessons as a part of my everyday life. We talk about that all the time. I know you guys with toddlers, y'all know what I'm saying. We have tears shed over sharing. You know, we have timeouts over sharing. But we're teaching them because we want them to grow up and to realize that everything isn't always about them and that there are so many benefits that come from sharing. It brings so much. And so that's what we do day in and day out at my house. That is a huge topic. But you know, my kids are getting it. And Everton, especially, she has this sweet little heart that she doesn't want anybody to be left out ever. She wants everybody to have everything that everybody else has. So we'll go to the store, and she'll pick out a toy, and she'll immediately say, well, now we have to get Patrick one. It doesn't matter if he's with her or not, Patrick needs one. Every morning for breakfast, she wants yogurt. She calls it Wogurt. And she wants yogurt, and she goes to the refrigerator, and she gets her yogurt, and then she immediately gets a second one and says, and Patrick needs a yogurt. And whether he wants yogurt or not, he's going to eat it because she's going to force it down his throat because he needs what she has. And so the other night, we had chicken and dumplings at home, and we were eating dinner in the living room because sometimes we eat on the couch. And so we were doing that, and everybody was eating except for me because chicken and dumplings are messy, and it was just going to be easier if I waited till the kids went to bed. And so I was helping them eat, and Everton would not let me sit there without a bowl. She was like, where's mommy's food? And she can't say her F's yet, so it's food. She's like, where's mommy's food? And I'm like, well, I'll get it later. She's like, no, mommy needs a bowl. And so I just want to show y'all. It's just a really cute little video of Everton. What are we eating tonight?
Chicken and dumplings.
Chicken and dumplings? What are we looking for now?
You're
what are we eating tonight?
And so, you know, I needed to show y'all that because what isn't cute about a little girl trying to say chippin' and dumplings? And we made her say it like 100 times the whole night. I was like, what did we eat tonight? She's like, chippin' and dumplings. I'm like, never say that correct. I need that the rest of your life. But she was so excited to go into the kitchen and get mommy a bowl of chicken and dumplings. And, you know, my kids are getting it. So right now, that's my life. Right now, sharing is my life. Talking about sharing, teaching sharing. We're constantly teaching our kids to lift up their eyes and to see that there are people all around us. And so thinking about that this week, I was thinking about that's kind of where we are right now as a church. You know, right now, as a church, we're beginning to multiply, which is exciting. But with that, it also comes some growth. It also comes some change. And so, you know, this year, in case you don't know, we adopted a church in Amarillo. It's 1,000 miles away. And that is our second location, which is super exciting. But that means that we get the opportunity to learn how to share. We are starting a campus in Henderson in the near future. And the vision of this house is to plant 100 campuses with 100,000 people. That is exciting. That is so amazing to be a part of a church that is so focused on the harvest. But for us, what that means is that means that we're going to have to learn how to share. Right now, we're learning how to do that. We're learning how to share our pastors. We're learning how to share our pastors in Amarillo, in Henderson, in future campuses. We're learning how to share our vision with other campuses. And there is a story in chapter John, and all of you guys, I know, are familiar with the story. This is one of those stories that, in the book of John, in chapter 6, I know this is a story that growing up as a kid you learn about. I feel like it's one of the most maybe taught stories as a kid, at least that I'm aware of. And in John chapter 6, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. And you know, that is a miracle that we're still talking about now. That we're still talking about today. And there's so much from that passage that you can pull. But one of the first things that I noticed is that that miracle happened because that boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he decided to share what he had. He shared his resources. He shared what was in his hand. Instead of saving that for himself, instead of thinking, well, this is mine, this is maybe for my family, this is whatever, you know, this is all mine, he decided to share. He shared that with Jesus and he shared that with the disciples. So the miracle was able to happen because he shared. And it says that there were 5,000 men. So that means that was just the men. So the families, there were more than 5,000 people there. And you just think about that. If you are given this, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus says, and he hands them to the disciples, which I thought was interesting. Jesus blessed it and then handed it to the disciples. He didn't pass it out himself. He equipped the disciples to do that. But I think about that, like how daunting of a task would that seem to be given that food and look up and see the multitude of people. But because that boy shared and because the disciples, they trusted God, because they were faithful to keep their eye on the prize, to keep their eye on the vision, which at that point was to feed those multitudes. That was the vision that they had in front of them at the moment. It was to feed the multitudes. Because they stayed focused on that vision, they didn't focus so much on what they were going to lack or what they were giving up. They focused on the vision that had to happen. They didn't focus, the disciples didn't look down and think, how is this going to happen? I would think, that's probably what I would think, how in the world am I going to make this work? But instead of focusing on the how, they focused on the why. They focused on, it's not about how I'm going to do this. I'm going to take what we have. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to be faithful with what I have given. And I'm going to focus on the why, which is that these men need to be fed. And because they stayed focused on that vision, that miracle happened. And it says, too, that people believed that they saw the signs. They saw this miracle. And they looked at Jesus and said, surely he is the prophet that is to come into the world. So because of this miracle, because they stayed focused on the vision, everything pointed back to Jesus. And as a church, that's what we're doing. As a church, we are lifting up our eyes and we are looking around and we are seeing that the harvest is near and we are sharing our pastors and we are sharing our vision and we are dealing with change that might come easy for some, it might not be so easy for others. But we are doing that right now because we are looking at the vision, which is to save people across the nation, not just in Owensboro, not even just in our state, but all over our nation and in our world, because we know that we have what those people need. We have what the world needs. And if we're going to do that, we have to learn as a church how to lift up our eyes. And so I just want to just kind of give you 3 quick things about what sharing does and what sharing brings. Number one, sharing pleases God. In Hebrews 13:16, it says, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So sharing pleases God. Number two, it allows us to become part of something bigger than ourselves and fulfill God's vision. You know, Pastor Brian, what he has been mandated to do is to plant 100 campuses, which means that this church is going to be a part of that. But Pastor Brian's job and Pastor Jesse's job, according to the word of God, it's to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So right now, they are equipping us in Owensboro. They are equipping those in Amarillo. They are equipping those in Henderson. And they're going to equip those in future campuses. And then we get the opportunity to put our hand to the plow and push the ball down the field and to help accomplish this vision as a team. So number one, it pleases God. Number two, it allows us to become part of something bigger than ourselves. And it fulfills God's vision. And, you know, with that, you know, sometimes learning to share, it can be hard. Like my kids, it took them a while. They're starting to get it. But learning to share, it can be difficult. Adapting to change, it can be difficult. But so often, and this is me included, I'm talking to myself here, we can think about, like in this season of our church's life, we can think about, well, we're having to learn how to share our pastors. We're having to learn how to share our vision. But sometimes I know I don't always think about the flip side of that. Pastor Brian and Pastor Jesse, they're also learning how to share. They're learning how to share themselves. And, you know, that can be hard. That can be difficult. But they have handled this transition in this new season of our life, which is the most exciting season that I feel like that we've ever had so far at a church. And I feel like the best is yet to come, and it's only going to get better. But they have